Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 22. The last time we were in Joshua, we were in verses 1 to 9. Today we'll be in verses 10 to 34. Joshua chapter 10, or 22, verses 10 to 34. This is the word of the Lord. Please give it your careful attention. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side." And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, and with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead. And they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you have built for yourselves an altar, that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. But do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, "The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it is in rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. But in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You children of Reuben, children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore we said that it will be, when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. Now when Phinehas, the priest, and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words of the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers, returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what we see here, that in all of your people there was a zeal for you and the things that you love. We pray, Lord, as we hear your word preached, that you would put that zeal in our hearts as well. A zeal for Jesus, a zeal for your house, a zeal, Lord, even for the supper that you have given to us to remember Jesus. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, because we are sinners and we often don't do well in our relationships with other sinners, though we are redeemed by the blood of Christ and have been given everything that we need for life and godliness, sometimes we just don't do well. Sometimes when controversies arise over serious and non-serious matters, when they do, we often see what really matters to us. It brings out, as some people say, the best in us or the worst. But what we do see is that what matters to us is us. We have a zeal for us. We need to have a zeal for the things of God. And here in this passage, in verses 10 to 34, there is a great display of a zeal for the Lord. And the chapter tells us what this is all about in the last verse where it says, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. This is the basis for their zeal. This is the basis for their passion about these things that we're going to look at. Now, the passage is instructed to us in helping us to prepare for the Lord's Supper. So I lay this question before us today as we read these scriptures. Do you have a zeal for the Lord? And how would you say your zeal is manifested? We see some evidence of it here in these verses, but how would you see it in your life? And not only that, a zeal for the Lord is not only what you believe, but also how you act by your actions. That's how it's manifested. And so more particularly, I'd ask you this question. In application, do you have a zeal for the Lord and His people? Do you have a zeal for the Lord and His people? Do you have a zeal for the Lord and His worship? And do you have a zeal for the Lord and His word? And those are the three points that we're going to go through today. Jesus had a zeal for God's worship. He had a zeal for God's people. He demonstrated that as He went through the temple, saying it was to be a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise. But you notice He said a house of prayer for who? For all people. Jesus had a zeal for the things of the Lord. So how you go about preparing to come to the table of the Lord is an indicator of your zeal for the Lord's table and for the Lord Himself. Now the word zeal is not in this passage that I just read. So you might say, well, why is he preaching on zeal? I don't see it worded here. But while it's not worded, it is manifested. It is demonstrated on several accounts in this passage. And just to be clear, to be zealous for something is to have a great passion for something. It is something that gets you hot, literally. It is something that makes you heat up. You have a fervor of spirit about something. It's not necessarily that it makes you angry, though that could be at times. But it is of so great importance to you that it does raise up the temperature. and causes you to act upon it. And so I would ask you, as we read this passage, did you see the zeal of the Israelites? Did you see also that it's there in both groups, in both tribes or both sides of the Jordan? Do you have a zeal for the things of the Lord? I suspect that we all have a zeal for something. And that zeal is seen by our actions. Some people have a zeal. It was raised this week here in this city. A zeal for college football all over the nation. That zeal is being raised up. The question is, do we have a zeal for the things of the Lord? And more particularly today, for the Lord's Supper and our preparation for it. What I want to do this afternoon is give you a summary of what we have just read, and then go back and pull out three things that manifest the zeal of the Israelites. Now, 2 weeks ago, we saw in verses 1 to 9 that the 2.5 tribes of Israel who had taken land on the east side of the Jordan had committed to fighting with their brothers on the west side, and now they had accomplished that fight. They had fulfilled their vows, and Joshua called them to himself and said, "You've done what you promised to do. You have fought the fight, and now go back and take the land that you had taken on the east side of the Jordan." And he blessed them. That's where we're brought up to this point today. But on their way back, just before they crossed the Jordan River, still on the west side, they decided to build a great, impressive altar, like the one, a replica of the one that was in Shiloh, where the tabernacle of God was located by God's appointment. Having done that, having built this great altar, the people on the west side of the Jordan saw it and made it known to their brothers that these brothers who were going to the east were in rebellion because they had built this altar. And so in their zeal, and it was a righteous zeal, and it was a biblical zeal, because God, we will see later in Deuteronomy, had told them how to respond if, having once taken the land, that some of their people decided to worship in a way that was not according to God's word, what they were to do. They were to go and destroy that city. And so their zeal in rising up and being ready to go to war against their own brothers was a zeal for God's word and for his worship. And they appointed heads of tribes, and they appointed Phinehas, the son of the priest Eleazar, and they sent him on ahead of the warring party and sent him to find out and investigate and find out what was going on. And so they asked them questions, and we look at verse 16 to 20. It says, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord?" These were not just questions trying to find answers. These were questions, accusatorial questions. These were questions that said, "We see what you have done. Explain what treachery this is that you have committed." For they were rebelling against the Lord, it appeared. Now, once the 10 tribes asked these questions and they got the explanation from the 2.5 tribes, they were pleased and satisfied and went back to their tribes reporting the good news, and the tools of war were put down, and all Israel blessed God for proving that he was among the whole nation. Now, this seeming controversy reveals several things about God's people here. And it is these things that we'll use to make application for our challenge to be zealous, not only for the Lord's Supper, but even for preparation to come to the Lord's Supper. And we're going to see these actions here in these verses. Number one, they were zealous for the Lord's Word. Secondly, they were zealous for the Lord's worship. And thirdly, they were zealous for the Lord's people. Let's first look at they were zealous for the Lord's Word. Now, this is implied on both sides. The Lord did not tell the 2.5 tribes to build this altar. So their zeal for His Word is not found in the building of this altar. But their zeal for His word is found in the motivation that they said was theirs for building it. They did not ever want to be considered as not being the people of somebody who did not belong to the Lord. The Jordan River was a huge waterway stretching from the Dead Sea in the south to the Sea of Galilee in the north. It's not just a small thing. And they saw it as a possibility that this divide could do damage between them and the other tribes of Israel to the point where those tribes, sometime in future generation, will forget that these 2.5 tribes were also part of the blessing of God. That they were God's people. That He, who had promised would be their God and they would be His people, that this included them. That was their concern. That God had made a promise in His word, and it included them. And that they, in future generations, because of this great river and this sea and this divide, as sometime down the road, people would forget and look at them as not being part of the people of God. Because God had promised that they would in His word. They did not want the Jordan to be something that made it look like they were a pagan nation or had split off from Israel and the other tribes. They wanted to follow the Lord. This was their explanation. And what is it to follow the Lord but to follow His word? Look at verse 29 of chapter 22. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day. That was the farthest thing from their mind. To rebel against the Lord, to rebel and not follow Him. And what is it to follow the Lord but to hear His word and obey it? And that's what they were seeking to do. So much zeal did they have for this that they were saying to the other tribes of Israel, and if we are not doing what we're saying, then don't save us. And what they meant by that was, bring on the war. Because if we are not following God's word, we understand that we are not to be living. And so they said, don't save us. We're not claiming that you should leave us alone because we are rebelling. If we're rebelling, then take us. Follow the Lord. You see, they knew too of this command that God had given them that if somebody rebelled in the land, that city and that people were to be leveled and taken out. They knew that would apply to them if they were in fact rebelling against the Lord. And so they were willing to die for the Lord's word. But they had not rebelled against the Lord. They were not turning away from Him. They were following Him and His word. But the 10 tribes were so zealous for this command, for this idea that they would follow God's word, that they had risen up in war against them. But even in doing that, they had not made a mistake. They had not made a mistake in getting ready to take action because of zeal for God's word. If we look back at Deuteronomy chapter 13, and I'll read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 to 16. Tells us this. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you shall inquire, search it out, and ask diligently, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder for the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. Both sides had a zeal for God. And both sides were seeking to obey the Lord according to His word. One side was ready to die if they had rebelled. The other side was ready to cause them to die for their rebellion. There was a zeal. On one side, because they thought they had fallen into idolatry. There was a zeal for God's word on the other side because they thought they might be in future generations excluded from God's promises in his word. Now we might think, well, this is a good lesson in how to solve problems and solve controversial issues. And you could go there if you were looking just for that. But we really need to see what's at the heart of this issue. And both sides were very concerned and had a zeal that God's word be performed. That is the issue here. Because the Lord is the Lord. It is his word and must be followed. Now we look in application to the Lord's Supper and how we apply this. The Lord's Supper is very important to us as a church, to the body of Christ. Should be very important to us. And needs to be asked of you who are going to participate or even observe, is it important to you? And do you have a zeal for coming to the Lord's table? 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 29 instructs us in that we are to come to the Lord's table having examined ourselves to ensure that we are not coming in an unworthy manner. And so there is instruction for us to prepare for this, to examine ourselves, and to be ready to come and worship the Lord in the Lord's Supper. And we should have a zeal for that word of instruction. We should not take it lightly. Even preparing ourselves. Now, how might we take it lightly? How might we come in an unworthy manner? We might come not being a believer in Christ. We might seek to come to the Lord's table putting on a show and making a false profession. That'd be one way of not having a zeal for the Lord or the Lord's table. We could come not discerning, as instructed in 1 Corinthians 11, not discerning the Lord's body. And when we discern something, we understand it. We are able to make application of that understanding. To discern the Lord's body is to understand and comprehend what the Lord has done with his body and what it means for him to give up his body as a sacrifice for sins. To discern his body is to apply that sacrifice to our sins and to seek forgiveness for our sins. In other words, it is to be able to understand and comprehend and apply the work of Jesus Christ in his sacrifice. Are you zealous for the Word of God, which instructs us to look at our lives, to examine ourselves, to examine our faith, to look at our lives? How are we living? Are we giving evidence that we are part of the body of Christ, that we are comprehending and understanding what Christ has done in his body? We are not to take this lightly. So much so, in 1 Corinthians 11, there is a warning attached to doing so, that some die, some are sick because of coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. I suspect that much of the church does not believe that the Lord really does that, that he causes people to die or causes people to be sick because they come to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. Because we don't see people maybe dying as a result of that. But the Word of God is still there. And it's still clear that the warning is there to cause us to be zealous about preparing for the Lord's Supper. The warning is there so that we will take it serious. And we must believe what God's Word says. And we also need to recognize that this warning about people being asleep and people being sick is not just physical, but it's also a spiritual thing. If you come to the Lord's table not preparing rightly, you're not going to be receiving all the nourishment from the Lord in the Lord's table. And so there is an aspect of falling under the Lord's discipline here that makes it a serious thing to do, to be prepared, to be zealous in your preparation. Zealous for God's word. He has instructed us how we are to come to the table. And we should be zealous for that word, as all of God's word. zealous for God's word and following him and not rebelling against him by taking our preparation seriously. So I just want to make the application in each section here. In looking back in your own life, do you have a zeal for preparing for the Lord's Supper? Do the weeks in the past just roll up like any other week? No preparation, no sincerity, no remembering Jesus until the day you walk in on the Lord's Day, before that moment, before the supper, and we say, "Oh Lord, forgive me." That's not a zealous preparation. If something is not preventing you from zealously preparing for the Lord, ask the Lord to give you a zeal for the Lord's Supper, because the Lord is God, and the Lord has instructed us in His Word to make and come in a worthy manner. Well, not only did they have a zeal to keep God's Word, but they had this zeal particularly for the Lord's worship, and that's our second point. They had a zeal for the Lord's worship. Look at verse 23 of chapter 22. If we have built ourselves an altar, worship, to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings, worship, or grain offerings, worship, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord Himself require an account. They did not build this altar to alter God's worship. They were not trying to change things. They were not trying to relocate the altar. In fact, they built it on the west side. They didn't build it on the east side. They didn't say, "Hey, once we get over on the other side of the river, we're going to be separated from the worship of God. And so we need to build ourselves another altar." The indication that they had a zeal for worship is found also in where they built it. They built it not in secret. They didn't build a big wall around it so the other Israelites couldn't see it. In fact, the Bible says they built an impressive altar on the west side of the river so the western tribes could see it as a replica, because they did not want to be forgotten. They did not want to be seen as somebody who was worshiping false gods. The Lord had prescribed where the tabernacle would be for that time, and it was to be in one place, and it was to be in Shiloh. And that's where it was. And so the 10 tribes made no mistake in being zealous for the worship of God either. They recalled the plague that God brought upon them in Numbers chapter 25. And I will turn back there and just read verses 1 through 9. This is that account of Phinehas when he says here in Joshua 22, "Don't you remember Peor?" Or Peor. Numbers 25, verses 1 to 9. "Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifice to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal Peor, and the angel of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel.' So Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Every one of you kill his men who are joined to Baal of Peor.' And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. This was the zeal that Eleazar had. This was the zeal that the children of Israel had in trying to call these other Israelites from making this altar, they thought. It was based on this incident, that a time in the past and not so long ago, don't you remember, the plague that God put upon us of 24,000 people dying because of our idolatry.
They had a zeal for God's worship.
If we go on to read this passage here in Numbers 25, we hear the Lord speaking to Moses saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them." And this is the zeal of the Lord that these Israelites had here in Joshua 22. And they were following the word of the Lord. They didn't just send the war tribes in and wipe out those 2.5 tribes. They did exactly what the Lord said. Go and inquire, ask questions, and then if it's so, you are to take them out. They had a zeal for the Lord's worship. Both sides did. Now, our churches have a zeal. We have a reputation for being zealous for the Lord's worship. As a church, our confession is that we hold to the regulative principle of worship, which in a simple way states that we only worship according to what God has commanded us to do. And if He has not commanded it, we don't imagine it and bring something else into it. What has the Lord commanded us about the Lord's table? He has commanded us, we who are believers, to come to the Lord's table. The sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism are elements of worship instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Supper, when we have it, is an act of worship for those who are trusting in Christ. They had a zeal for such worship. A zeal that they were willing to have the Lord judge them if they were not worshiping Him only and only at the appointed place. Both sides had this zeal. They were willing to submit to the Lord's word and have no other altar. So it was a zeal for the word. It was a zeal for worship. The question for us, is there a zeal for us in the Lord's Supper? As we read, and we will read in 1 Corinthians 11 next week, you cannot come to the Lord's Supper in any way except a worthy way. And you cannot come in a worthy way without examining yourself and discerning the Lord's body properly. Again, this is more than showing up in 5 minutes before the Lord's Supper. Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. Just like today, to come ready to worship takes preparation. And if coming to the Lord's Day to worship God is the first time that you have been thinking about worshiping Him, then you're going to be lacking in your zeal. You might go through the motions, but it's not likely that you will be prepared to truly worship God. Do you have a zeal for the Lord's worship? A zeal for the Lord's Supper? A zeal for preparation? Does it matter to you is what the question really is. And what are the actions that you'll take to demonstrate that? Well, in this time and place, they really did build this replica altar. It was on the west side of the Jordan for all to see. They had a zeal for something else, too. They had a zeal for their children. Their whole motivation underlying the building of this replica altar was to be a witness for future generations. And that's what we see as our last point. These folks had a zeal for the Lord's people. The building of that replica altar was not so the tribes on the west or on the east side could start a new way of worship. It was a memorial, so to speak. It was to be a witness for future generations. They feared. And the word tells us here that they feared that future generations would see the Jordan River as not just a physical divide, but a spiritual one. They didn't want their future generations, their children and their children's children, to be caused to cease fearing the Lord. That was their motivation. They didn't want to see their children and their children's children turn away from the Lord in rebellion.
be discouraged because one part of the nation of Israel says, you're over there, you must not be part of us. They built this replica to say, see, we know what's going on in that tabernacle. Here is a replica of that altar. And we know that that is in the tabernacle